I don't think they're going to the playoffs this year. I could be wrong on that. But anyway, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, at Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570. What has changed the Warriors? Like, honestly, what is this? You know what I mean? Just admit it. You were if your name's not Joe Shasky, then you were surprised by last night. I got in the car yesterday morning and dropped the little man at school, and Shasky was going off on how he was just feeling it. He's like, just ride the Warriors tonight. Ride them. We're getting six? Oh, my gosh. Ride them. He was so confident, and I was like, whew, that's interesting. And then you look what happened. Looky here. The Warriors went out in the game where you asked them to prove it, and they did.
Yep. You and I both, on Warriors Live, at the very end of it, you said, hey, what do you think tonight? Prediction. And I said, Mark, I hate to do this on Warriors Live, but if I was a betting man, I would have to take the Celtics and, I mean, and lay the six. I think it's a tough spot for the Warriors. Yep. And you kind of agreed with me. And then, you know, we watched the game in the fourth quarter. That thing flipped. And it's like, man, whew, good thing it was a stay away for me.
It is a good, good, fun watch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was, there was some energy that went through the body when Buddy Hield hit that three, for sure. By the way, go look at that replay again. And I mean, not you, everybody. Go watch the slow replay of the Buddy Hield three late in the game and watch Jason Tatum on that play. Wow.
Curry gets Horford. Shot clock at 7. 49 seconds left. Pass to Buddy Hield. Right corner three. Swish! 111-104. Time out. Boston.
Jason Tatum got lost.
Lost?
I mean, this is one of those things where you looked one way and something flew right by you the other way. He sort of gets caught in between looking at Buddy. He looks at Buddy, then he looks over at Steph, and Steph goes right by him, and he looks back to find Buddy, and Buddy's gone. He's gone.
He gone.
It is like getting pickpocketed. And so he just got totally left, and that was the dagger. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, I felt a little down when I heard that, Dib, you're picking Cincinnati, because I'm picking Cincinnati, too. But
Uh-oh. But
I did get 6.5 points the other day, so I'm still feeling pretty good about that. So we'll
yeah, because that 1 point is going to be the difference, right, Gene? Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, let's hope we both win. All right, anyways, turning to the Warriors. Listen, now, no breaking news here, but I mean, what's different is, to me, it's three things. First of all, the depth they have, you know, that this is a better team. First of all, in the beginning of the season, I thought, well, we're not going to be the best starting five, but we may be the best starting 12, and that seems to be coming to pass. We just got so much talent, so much depth. We got three or four guys at least coming off the bench that could probably start for most, or at least a lot of teams. Second thing, in fact, you know, we talk about strength in numbers. To me, it's more like numbers with strength. So, but the second thing is the coaching. I mean, Jesus, these two new coaches, Stotts and Stackhouse, they've made a huge difference, and it seems to have made Kerr's work a lot easier. He's making better decisions because I think it's easier for him to make better decisions this year. So, I mean, that's how I see it so far. I'm anxious to see how these next two games go. But even if we split the two, I'm feeling really good about our chances to go deep in the playoffs this year.
Gene, I'd actually say that and thank you, even if they lose both of the next two games.
Right, right.
If they come back and beat the Mavericks and they're 8-3 at the end of 11 games, that was the scenario that we threw out there yesterday, and everybody seemed all thumbs up on that idea. I get the notion that you want to get greedy once you already get a bird in hand like they now have, and I'll feel the same. You now sort of like to be a little piece of you that's disappointed if they go out and lose two in a row, but they very well might. These are really, really hard basketball games on the home floors of fully healthy, high-level opponents both tomorrow night and Sunday. So I get that. But, you know, you threw that scenario out yesterday and thought maybe that the two that they could win would be last night and next Tuesday, and that's very much on the table now.
That would be the two that I would pick if you could only win two of the four. But now that you've won the first of the four, now you start thinking about getting greedy and winning three of the four, or maybe all four of the four, because I did think that last night would be the second most difficult. I think that the OKC game on the road in that spot against that team at the end of a five-game trip would be the toughest of the four. Boston defending champs, they were 37-4 on the home court last year. That, I thought, was the second toughest. And then, you know, the Dallas game at home is probably the, quote, easiest of the four. Cleveland's also really, really good.
Yep.
And so that game becomes difficult.
They're also big.
Right.
Like, the Cleveland might be, I'm sort of preparing for this tomorrow. They might be, we'll wait and see, they might be a bad matchup for the Warriors.
I also think that OKC's a bad matchup.
Maybe.
Because they are very similar to what you do. They don't mind playing fast, and they're the best defensive team in basketball right now as far as points per game allowed goes. So they are deep. They're fast, they can shoot the three, they're long, and they play good defense. So all the things that you are, plus they're a little bit younger, and they also have size.
Yep.
With Chet Holmgren, who's now playing more like a five than ever before. So I think that matchup is a tough one as well. Interesting what you said about the Buddy Hield dagger, and I was just looking at it, and I wanted to let the audience know about the best-kept secret in sports internet is NBA.com. You go to the box score and you can click on a player and you can look at every shot that they attempted or every shot that they made.
Okay.
So as you're talking about it, I went to Buddy Hield in the box score. He made four threes, and you scroll down to the fourth three and you click on it and they show you the video of that play. And on that play, Warriors down four, up four, under a minute. And Jason Tatum strolls over as if he's going to help on Curry, doesn't help on Curry, ignores Buddy Hield, and the pass goes to Buddy, and Jason just kind of looks over.
If Jason Tatum were a college player, then in the film room after the game, the coach is hucking a clipboard off the wall.
Probably taking
that's
a
like,
scholarship.
That's the kind of crap that I, like, if you did that on my high school team, that you get yanked out of the game.
Yes.
You get yanked out of the game right away, what he did last night.
And in this case,
it's crazy.
And I'm just watching it, and I watched it again. And, like, there's one thing to jump up and help on Steph, even though he didn't need to. It's another thing to just, like, saunter up and then just kind of look at Steph and ignore Buddy. And then the pass goes out to Buddy, and he doesn't even scramble to close out.
Yeah, it was a
really weird. I hadn't picked really that up bad. Until you mentioned
it.
But
it was really, really a bad
NBA.com, you can go to any box score and click on any shot or turnover or action, and they go right to the video. It's pretty cool.
Love that. All right, it's Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. All day we've been asking, in your mind, what has changed? Why have the Warriors suddenly looked so good? We'll take your calls later on in the hour. We're going to try something new and have a really fun question on the way out the door for you around 5:40 or so. Join us for that. We're going to want your interaction and participation. Also, earlier in the show, live from Cleveland, we got a chance to catch up with GP2, and he was in a great mood, and we had a really good time. So here it is again, our conversation with Gary Payton II, and we started it out by just telling him, dude, you look healthy.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me. But now, that was the emphasized key emphasis on my summer this year, was just getting out of the year healthy. I had a sprained calf or something like that. I cleaned that up, and then after that, it was just, try to bulletproof it and just get faster, stronger, you know, throughout the summer. And, I'm staying on it and keeping everything up to par.
Yeah, and you look better than just par, and right now the team in general looks phenomenal, 7-1. What do you make of this start, Gary, and what do you attribute it to? Because Mark and I were talking about, like, how is this all happening? What do you think has been working for you guys so far?
We got a lot of guys that can play basketball and play very at a high level. All our young guys are, they've been playing at a high level for a year about now, so everything's starting to come around. Moses Moody's, settling into his role. Jonathan's settling into, you know, potentially a superstar breakout type role. So, you know, added the pieces, K.A., and D'Anthony Melton, you know, everybody's come in. We got, what, 12 guys essentially that we can, you know, Steve's comfortable with everybody. And I think everything right now is just, we're just flowing right now. It's a nice little gel we have.
Gary, you just mentioned it, and Melton may play tomorrow or Sunday. We'll see. Like, can this 12-man rotation sustain? Can you guys do that all year long?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, of course, injuries and whatnot's going to happen, but, you know, I think so. Everybody's buying in, and it can be somebody's night every night, somebody different night every night. So, you know, there's not one guy. I'm sure we have another guy to come in and make plays and, you know, just play basketball the right way.
Last night was your night. I mean, many nights have been your night, but last night you came in and you had such great contributions. What was it about last night and the matchups that made you so comfortable and had you play so well at Boston?
I'm kind of familiar with that arena and those guys. So, you know, we know what they like to do and how they like to switch on and whatever they like to do defensively. So, you know, I'm just being myself, go up there, they put the big guy on me, I'm probably going to go set a screen and dive, so, you know, and try to be a playmaker in there. And with the pieces I have around me, you know, it makes it that much easier and, you know, that much exciting to go out there and, you know, have a good game. It was two top teams, and you know, we had fun.
GP2 is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game in Cleveland, where the team will play tomorrow night in a game that you'll hear right here on 95.7 The Game. Gary, what did it mean to you? Not that I don't want to diminish any of the other teams you've played so far, but you guys know what people were saying. It's like a measuring stick game. So what did it mean to you guys to get a win like that? That's a little more high profile.
It was good. You know, we knew the back of this road trip was three of the best teams in the league. And we knew that coming in. So, you know, kind of got out of the early road trip, you know, well, could have cleaned up a lot of stuff, had a little scary moment in Houston. So we learned from that and came out, and we knew if we had anything like that in Houston, you know, we were going to, you know, get beat. So this was a good test for us, and I know Boston was going to bring out the best of us, and we was going to bring out the best of Boston, so it was going to be a good clash, and we got two more to go with some young teams. So, you know, this is another test for us, you know, to see where we're at right now.
What's the vibe been like in the locker room? Because Mark and I were talking about expectations, and, you know, you're already a champ, and Steph and Dre have four, and so, yeah, you want to always be a champion, but does it feel a little bit less pressurized knowing that you've already got one, and also maybe the fact that most people don't think that you guys are going to be that good anyway?
Yeah, exactly. You know, couple years ago, you know, they didn't think that, you know, we had what it take or we was going to be that good, and turned out, you know, doing what we did. But I think now it's a good chemistry. We have a good vibe in the locker room. It kind of does feel like that a couple years ago. But we just got guys that, you know, buy in and, you know, want to do it the right way and unselfishness. And, you know, they just want to win. And I think if we keep having that mindset and keep buying into what Stack and Terry and the staff is, you know, trying to do for us with this 12-man rotation, I think it'll be very good for us down the stretch.
Gary, you always represent defense, so I really want to ask you this. Last year, not a very good defensive team. So far this year, a very good defensive team. It can't just be because Steve told you to be better. Like, what happened here? Why are you guys so much better on defense?
Yeah, we got intelligent players, like I said, adding D. Melt and Kyle Anderson. You know, those are two, especially D. Melt, already defensive-minded, very smart player. And, you know, two-way, he can get going offensively, and K.A. just, he's like a little wizard out there, you know, with his speed and how he uses it and how he's affecting the game. It's just crazy. And we got Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. We have so many different lineups that we can go. You know, and guys just want to get out there and make the right plays and win. So I think we've got a group of guys like that with how many number of guys we have like that. You know, it's going to be tough. You get to see different matchups, so you can't really game plan. But you can just hope, you know, that we have a bad day.
And so far, no bad days. And I do have to ask you about what's being referred to as Dunkgate. after last night, and you know, you go about 6'2" and change, and you dunk all the time, reverse, front ways, whatnot, and Wiggins goes up for a layup and doesn't dunk it, and you in the post game even mentioned, like, you know, Wiggs has to dunk the ball a little bit. Do you guys give him some a little bit of a hard time in the post game after he missed that open layup?
Nah, I don't think it's a little. It's a little bit. I think we give him hard time all the time. But no, Wiggs. No, we gonna finish those in transition. But you know, Wiggs is Wiggs, and I know he's gonna get his bounce. He's got his bounce, so. I heard that he kind of slipped yesterday, so we're going to let that one slide. But for sure, the rest of these, we're going to need him to dunk them.
While we're on the topic of dunks, Gary, our producer, Lucas Alexander, is itching to ask you a dunk question. I'm going to throw it over to Lucas.
Gary, it's Lucas. Hey, pleasure talking to you. I've noticed that even when you're wide open going for dunks, you love to do reverse dunks, coming down, cutting down the baseline. Why? It seems like 90% of your dunks are reverse. What's the deal with that?
It's a good question. That's a good question. Well,
I guess I can just
dunk in reverse. I can actually scan the floor and see where my matchup is, and as soon as I get dunk it, I can go to my matchup. So it's probably just me scanning. It's easier for me to scan it and go pick up my matchup on the way back.
Gary, was it actually a good question, or were you just being nice because it was Lucas jumping in?
No, that's a good question.
All right. I'm just checking.
Well, that counts for something on our show
it
now,
does,
Gary.
Yeah.
You just gave him the biggest compliment that can be paid on this program.
He's like celebrating in the other room right now.
No, that was a great question.
All right,
now you're piling on.
Here's my silly, playful question. I saw the pregame, and I don't even know what to call it, when you guys get in a circle and you're kind of doing the soccer thing where you can't use your hands and you're only using your head and your feet, and you were doing it with Jonathan Kuminga and Gui Santos, two guys from different countries where soccer is a much, much bigger deal maybe than it might be here in America. That feels intimidating. What allowed you to get into that circle, Gary?
No, we all have the same passion for football. So, you know, that's our little way to, you know, just to get back to the game, have some fun with it. We watch soccer all the time. So those are my guys. And, you know, we try to have fun right before the game with it. And hopefully get a bucket out of it.
Who's your team, Gary, when you watch soccer?
Bayern Munich. From Germany. Germany team, Bayern Munich. I've been watching them since South Africa, I think 2014. That's when I probably got into soccer. So since 2014, you know, it's been off-ledge, and I try to get to as many matches as I can.
What made you select them?
The team that they had at the time, they had Frank Ribery, Aaron Rodgers, Thomas Mueller. They were just a feisty team. They were pretty much bullying, you know, the whole soccer world. And I just liked how they played, you know, just fearless, fast, get stops, and they go the other way and put pressure on you. So, you know, I kind of just fell into that style of play, and ever since then I've been rocking with them.
I can see you as a Ribery fan just based on the way he plays with that scar under his eye and the rugged nature.
Just chirpy, yeah. And it was just fun watching their style of play.
GP2, yep, at the hotel. Hey, Gary, leave us with this. How do you feel about this team versus how you felt about it when you were in camp?
You got me?
Now
we got
GP.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you hear the question?
Yeah, I got you. I think we definitely grown from camp. In Hawaii, we had a pretty good preseason, but we still knew in preseason games that we still needed to clean up a lot of things and get our defense right and rotation and our shell and everything's right. And I think we're still doing that now. It's just every game, you know, the top of competition, the play level of competition, I think it's just going to continue to rise, and we're going to keep getting better, and it's going to force us to, you know, lock down and lock in and, you know, and have each other's back. So I think every game right now for us is just huge for us, and with our chemistry, and you know, we're continuing to build.
Gary, thanks for hopping on, man. Go get him tomorrow night.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. GP2.
Yeah.
And the Warriors right now are a vibe, man. They are an entire vibe. Like, he's in a great mood. Everybody is just in a great mood with the Golden State Warriors right now.
What's to be unhappy about? Yeah. And if you look at it after eight games, who could be unhappy and what would you be unhappy about? Even Jonathan Kuminga, who has now come off the bench in four straight games, four wins, by the way, and this last game was the lesser of his four games. He only had 10 points in 18 minutes, and he was a minus two in the plus minus after one, you know, for just one game, who cares? But beyond Kuminga having to come off the bench, who else could be possibly upset about anything at all? Who outside of injury? Like D'Anthony Melton, probably bummed that he is out with a back.
I guess no one. I want to say Moses Moody because I'm just used to everybody being mad about Moses Moody. Is he playing enough for everybody now? Are we all doing okay with Moses Moody, or do we still need more minutes?
Well, it's interesting because you probably want more minutes, but if you look at the minutes so far, on average, 28, 28, 28, 26, 26, 23, 18, 17, 17, 16, 16, 15, 13. So who's going to complain? The guy averaging 13 minutes a game? Well, we just talked to him. And it's GP2.
Yep.
Did he sound bothered?
No.
He's played in all eight games, and he's averaging 12.6 minutes a game.
Yep.
Lindy Waters averaging 15. Kevon and Slow-Mo and D'Anthony Melton all in the 16-17 range, as is Moses. So how can you really come out and complain about minutes when four or five of your brothers are getting the exact same time as you?
888-957-9570. What has changed the Warriors? That's kind of the question we've been playing with today. We'll take your phone calls as we roll through the 5 o'clock hour here on Willard and Dibbs. I'll tell you this too. Like when I think about the minutes distribution, I saw this earlier today and thought this is worthwhile to pass along because there's so much energy surrounding Buddy Hield and the way that he's kind of connecting with the audience, right? So maybe this won't surprise you. This is a confirmation, if you will. The best two-player analytic lineup in the whole NBA in terms of its output right now, the best pairing of players in the entire NBA so far this year is Steph Curry and Buddy Hield.
Wow. Yeah.
When they play together, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, I can go find them.
Well, numbers are numbers.
But they're number one.
Yep.
They are number one in terms of the output, the production, the point value that you're getting from when those two players are on the floor together, number one.
It's pretty exciting, and no one will ever replace Klay, and I have to make sure I say that every time I talk about comparing Buddy to Klay, but Buddy is doing a lot of the things that Klay used to do, peak Klay, and last year was not so much that, I don't think, but Klay coming in and being instant offense, that's been Buddy. And, you know, Klay always a much better defender than Buddy, but Buddy is scoring it so much more efficiently than almost anybody else in the association right now.
Yep, and actually, what he's not known for, and a small sample, he's doing well also, which is that he's playing defense. He is one of the top-rated defensive individuals in the NBA right now. No, I do not expect that to continue throughout the year. But it is right now, and that's great. And so there's all kinds of answers to this question. I know that you had a bunch when we started talking about this earlier today. But this is a completely different defensive unit. And then I would go by individuals. And for me, there are three players right now that when you look at them, you go, gosh, even if I was super optimistic, I couldn't have expected those players to play like that. Because you look at it, okay, why? Why are they suddenly just so cohesive and so productive? The chef's been the chef. In fact, I can argue that he's been almost lesser in that, A, he's missed three games,
yep,
and B, less is being asked of him. I think that's a good thing, but Steph Curry's only averaging 22 points a game. We know that he has the capability to do so much more. Go around the lineup, though. You just mentioned GP2. He looks like GP2. Moses Moody looks like what we thought and hoped he would look like if and when he got a chance. Same for the likes of Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kevon Looney at his height and all that. And even I'd say, though, that he's been moved to an off-the-bench role, Jonathan Kuminga is doing a lot of the things on both sides of the ball that people want to see him do. But there are three players who right now you're like, whoa, you are catching my attention. Number one, Andrew Wiggins. Andrew is clearly through whatever the hell was going on the last 2 years. And it's not perfect. He's had an injury already. But that looks like a basketball player the Warriors can win with. Number two is Draymond Green between the ears. He is playing great. He always plays great. Gosh, Jay Billis's words on him earlier were really profound.
Yeah.
You should go back and listen to that. He literally thinks he's one of the greatest NBA players of his day. But Draymond Green is clearly at peace and calm and leading this team and talking to refs and just chill. It's what we've all been waiting for. And then the last one is clearly Buddy Hield, which I just don't even know what way to say it other than Buddy has found his home. Welcome, Buddy. It turns out you belonged here all along.
He's shooting 51% from three.
Jeez.
Not from the floor. He's only shooting total from the floor 52%. So his two ball is barely better than his three ball, which is 51%, and he's averaging 21 a night. Andrew Wiggins is the one for me that really stands out, and I know he missed a couple of games, but you look at his numbers, and I know it's early after eight games, but scoring is way up from last year. It's almost to where it was in his All-Star year. Rebounds are up. His three-point percentage is up, and I know it's only eight games, but the way he looks is trending in the right direction, and defensively, he's been really good. The Draymond part of it is tough to quantify, but all you have to do is watch the game, and you see Draymond acting different. He's playing just as hard as ever, defending great, and Jay Billis had really kind words to say about what he did against Zion, and he's right. Nobody can guard Zion like that. And he did, and he shut him down for the better part of eight quarters, and that's partly why you won those games. And Buddy's been an unbelievable fit. Wiggins is looking like he's returning to All-Star form, and Draymond's mentals, you're absolutely right.
888-957-9570. Let's hear from you. What has changed with the Warriors? Devin in an Uber. Hey, Devin, what's going on?
Hey, man. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's cooking?
So a couple things, man. One is perspective, right? I think some of the players understand that this is a business and it's legit. We saw Jordan Poole get shipped out. We see Chris Paul one and done, even though he was serviceable. We saw Clay leave, you know, and not get what he wanted, unfortunately. So I think it's perspective. Everybody is just a lot.
Oh, Devin? Gone.
Oh, he gone.
Yeah. Devin is gone. I wanted to hear the rest of that. However, I do think that the core of his message is well received. And this is one of those things that I don't think you could put a finger on. And that is, I keep hearing everybody use the word vibe. This Warrior team just has a vibe about him. And it sort of leads to, I think, the question that we'll build through Christmas and January, and then when we get to February, and it kind of goes alongside what Brian Windhorst said on ESPN earlier today, and we'll play that for you here in just a second. A vibe is wonderful. Strength in numbers is great. You love the love. You love, oh, everybody gets to play. It's like AYSO soccer. All of that stuff is wonderful. And I think that can get you to the playoffs. But as far as whether or not that can actually win in the playoffs, that's a completely different story. And a lot of people think this team is built for a trade. And if the right one comes along, they'll make it. It's a question for a different day, but it's coming.
It is coming, and I wonder about that trade if it changes the vibe. Because right now the vibes are so good, and you know, you don't want the vibe to change, but you would like to get better. Any team would like to get better, but if you get better and the vibe changes, what is it worth if you bring in a star and you ship out three favorites and just if you pick names and you say it's, you know, Kuminga, Kavon, and GP2,
yeah,
guys who were backbone and heart and soul guys, does that change the vibe to where the star that you bring in ultimately doesn't make you better in the intangible ways?
We've been saying this, right, for a few days, if not weeks, if not months. This all revolves around Jonathan Kuminga. Like, in the same conversation, Jay Billis is sitting here going, yeah, I think if the Warriors really want to win in June, they probably do need to make a trade. Next sentence, Jonathan Kuminga is a future All-Star. And so this is one of those grab.
Yeah.
But I do foresee some adversity for the Warriors this year trying to figure out, let's say Giannis or something comes along and you have the opportunity to do it, but you're playing phenomenal basketball and Jonathan Kuminga is making believers out of the fan base. What do you do? What do you do? Do you serve Steph and go for that ring? Or do you just stay the course because you feel like you're not only really good now, but you could actually continue to be really good into the future?
It depends on your goals, but it also, I think, is really linked not so much to Jonathan Kuminga as it is to Andrew Wiggins. And I think about that team now coming up on 3 years ago that won the championship. Steph was 8th in the MVP, and he was an All-Star, and I think Steph is still playing at or near that same level. Wiggins averaged 17.2 a game, and he was an All-Star. He was two-way Wiggs. He was forceful on both ends. If you get that Wiggins that you had then on this team, okay, then that box gets checked as well. Then you go down to the next level. Klay Thompson, he averaged 20 a night. That was Klay's probably last best year with the Warriors. Well, Buddy right now is averaging 21.
Right.
I'm not saying this will continue, but if it does, then that box is checked. Draymond is still Draymond. You know, the numbers aren't the numbers for Draymond. It's what he does, and I still think that Draymond is as close to 3 years ago as you need him to be, so you check that box. Jordan Poole averaged 18 a game over the regular year. Kuminga would be a guy to fill in part of that. And then you add in GP2 and Looney who are here, and then Slow-Mo and Melt when he gets back, and Pods and, you know, TJD. And you start to think about, it's for me, it's Wiggins. If Wiggins is what he was, then maybe you can stand pat and be good.
I totally feel you, because actually, and we haven't even touched on this yet, we're talking about why the Warriors are better and all these different observations. Do you want to know what has surprised me the most about this Warrior basketball team? Scoring the basketball is not a problem.
Yeah.
And they've done that for 3 of their 8 games. They've done it without Steph. Scoring the basketball was, coming into the season, the big question. It was like, okay, you've got Steph. What about the non-Steph minutes? Well, what about the non-Steph games? And can Wiggins kind of be that number two scorer? Well, he's got his numbers not back to where they were 3 years ago, but they're up. They're up from last year. He's averaging a little bit under 16 a game. Kuminga's taken a step forward. But then Buddy Hield. And then other little sort of pieces in terms of the way they go about moving the ball and getting the points that they need from, whether it's a Pods or a Moody or finishing around the rim at a TJD, even Draymond shooting the ball better. I thought this team would have periods of time where they had a hard time scoring the basketball. So far, they have not.
Other than some first quarters where they've come out flat, but it hasn't buried them, and they've bounced back in all those games where they came out and they had big deficits against Portland and Utah, and again last night where they didn't look sharp offensively. And I think that Steve is still trying to figure out what his starting five is going to be and what the best five will be. But I just think about that team 3 years ago, and offensively, they were not as good as this team is. They only averaged 112 a game, which was 17th. This team right now is 9 points better, small sample. They're third in offense. That team was third in defense. This team is second in defense. So I do think that there are similarities, and this is what Steve wants. A good offensive team combined with a very good defensive team.
888-957-9570 is the number. Before we go out to the phones, we're going to start something new called Fun at 545. And I don't even know if that's what it's going to be called. I just made that up. What is
better than the old name.
Well, I thought about doing that too. Anyway, what's your question that you would like to ask America tonight on our way out the door?
In 888-957-9570, if you have an answer, because it hit me this morning thinking about workplaces, and the question was, is it okay to bring in your leftover crappy Halloween candy and bring it to work?
Okay.
Because I walk around this office.
Only the crappy ones.
I walk around the office, and we have our sister station, KCBS, and they have a little community table where a lot of people bring stuff in. And I saw the candy bucket, and so I thought, oh, yeah, candy bucket. So I walked over there to see what was in there, and it's crap.
Okay,
it's the dregs.
But I have a question. Did somebody definitely bring in the dregs, or are you simply getting to it at a time where all the good stuff has already been taken? The good stuff might have been brought here as well.
Either way, if the good stuff was brought with the crap, leave the crap at home, because nobody wants your Mr. Good Bar. Nobody wants your smashed up M&Ms that are clearly from second term Reagan.
Oh, I'll totally eat smashed up
M&Ms.
You
won't eat these.
Yes, I will.
This package looks like it had been run over on Market Street.
I'm in, as long as it's still closed.
Since last Halloween.
As long as it's closed, I'm in.
There was a Rolo that looked like it had been sat upon by Osh, the elephant from the Oakland Zoo. Rest in peace.
Okay, ponder that and stand by.
Is it okay to bring your crap candy to work? I say no, Mark.
But
it's offensive.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a sec. Dollar Bill, this is back to the Warrior question. Dollar Bill wants to weigh in the city. Hi, Dollar Bill, what are you doing?
Hey, boys. Dibs, you crack me up, man. when I see the Warriors, I see it. Granted, it's a small sample size, but what I love about them this year, it's kind of death of a thousand cuts. You don't know which one's going to get you, but collectively, they're just so deep, and everybody contributes a little, so they just swarm you, and you don't know where to go. So that's what I've seen so far. Super fun to watch.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get to a game.
Thanks, Dollar Bill. It's a great observation, and it's true. I think what we're having a hard time with is traditionally that's not what raises the trophy in the end. Like, I remember the Detroit Pistons did this to the Shaq and Kobe Lakers and ended the dynasty by winning a championship where it was just like, yeah, we got a bunch of people. And Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Tayshaun Prince, all those guys. Like, they just had a Chauncey Billups. They had a team, and they beat superstars. That is very rare. It is very rare in history.
Yep.
So you can love this Warrior team, and I do too. I just predict that the question at some point this year will be, okay, can that style and that group, like, let's pretend you end up taking on the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals, or you're taking on Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals. Are you going to death by paper cuts Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren? Can you do that? I don't know.
You have before, and, you know, you go back to 2022.
Playoff series.
2022, you came off a year where you were 53-29 in the Western Conference, which is good. Last year you won 46 games, and we all were outraged. This was seven more wins, and you went about winning series against Denver, Memphis, Dallas, and then you beat Boston in six. So you can do it, and this team, it's not like they're all a bunch of paper cuts. I mean, Steph Curry is still samurai sword, and Draymond Green is a set of Ginsu knives. So you still have a good amount of weaponry, and the whole thing about that expression, has anybody ever died from 1,000 paper cuts?
I don't know. Look it up. Google that.
Like,
I mean, probably.
Cause of death, 1,000 paper
thousand
cuts.
1,000 paper cuts.
It's like $9.99 I survived, but that last paper cut is what got me.
Let's go to Doug from Berkeley. Doug, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up?
How are you? Great to listen to you. I know you're going to clap back at me hard.
You're damn right.
right up front, okay, because you've done it before. I'm laughing as hard as I can. I'm on the floor rolling around because I agree with most of what you guys are talking about this team, and I love the team. This is talking about the new Draymond Green, and I'm rolling on the floor. It's eight games, okay? John Madden had a great saying. He goes, winning is a great deodorant, okay? Let's see what happens when we hit some speed bumps. There's no way that Draymond gets through. I would love him to get through the season with only eight, getting thrown out eight times. That would be wonderful. It's not going to happen. I think that what's changed for this team is the rest of the vibe. Buddy Hield is offensively playing like Klay Thompson used to play, and everybody's kind of dialed in right now and having fun. Draymond's on his best behavior right now. I'm rolling on the floor even thinking that he's going to go through a whole season being this great example to the rest of the team.
Well, Doug, I tell you what, I don't think I'm not going to clap back. You may well be right. I think all of us, even those who are optimistic about it, it's cautious optimism. But I'm not assessing it because it's been eight games and I'm seeing some sort of different productivity. I see someone who's acting different even in wins. I see someone who during timeouts, you know, at the game I attended, when you're watching on TV and it's a commercial break, I see a different situation. I see a different set of circumstances, a different behavior from Draymond Green. It could change. Sure. It could change.
And he will have some missteps. I'll take the under on eight ejections, by the way.
Yeah, eight ejections. That's two texts each. Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, we go straight to a flagrant two and you get ejected for that. But I think that there are going to be missteps, and that's okay. I like what you said about the way he's reacting in wins.
Yep.
He's different across the board, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Here's the deal. Will you line it up or text 888-957-9570, fun at 545. We would love to take your calls. Is it okay to take the crappy Halloween candy that nobody wants and bring it to work? Yes or no? 888-957-9570. We need your interaction right now on Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
Ugh. Just determined to get me aggravated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your question?
On 95.7 The Game.
That's what we're looking for. Would have been an aggregation sensation.
Yes, it would have.
The great Ramona Shelburne. NBA season is here. We'll have her on soon.
Cha-ching!
Willard and Dibs, and we'll still take your Warrior phone calls. But yeah, let's have a little fun at 545. And the question is, when the Halloween candy gets down to like, oh, the nobody wants that stuff.
Right.
You know, like, are there like, I don't know, sweet tarts or tries to put something in there with nuts that has no chocolate, or
you know, those tiny like suckers that are like,
yeah,
the like lime one and like the peach
dum-dums.
One. Not even Dum Dums. These are the flat ones that you get at the dentist.
Yeah, just like exactly.
Ooh, unbranded.
No, like exactly.
Completely unbranded.
The unbranded barbershop lollipop.
Right. You get a haircut, you get a pop.
Like, and I don't want to offend anybody who gave this stuff out, but you mailing it in.
No doubt.
You're mailing it in.
What I saw Monday when I came in was chocolate-covered quinoa crisps. Chocolate-covered quinoa crisps.
Did you say quinoa?
Quinoa, the grain.
We don't do quinoa on Halloween.
No, and this was a tub full of like 50 of them, so somebody was passing these out, and I'm sure there was going to be a lot of, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Because, you know, trick-or-treat, and the person who gives out the chocolate-covered quinoa crisp, you're basically saying trick. You don't get a treat. I'm going to trick you. Have some quinoa.
I do get the concept, though, of I don't want this in my house anymore, and I don't want to throw it away, so bring it to work. Like, that happens. Actually, I got a fun one to throw at you. Okay. I want to read a few of these first, though. On the Comcast business text line, 925, absolutely not. That's like donating used underwear to Goodwill.
Thank you.
See, I disagree with that. That's a little further. Used underwear does not go to Goodwill, but if somebody has your generic lollipops, you can bring those to work. Some people like those. I don't know what people like.
Right, but, I mean, bring some marquee candy, too.
No!
Don't just bring your undrafted free agents.
Why?
Bring me a couple of blue chippers.
No, I ate those.
Well, then leave your crap at home.
But you might like them. I disagree with you.
Back when we used to do sports updates, our sports update anchor, who we adored, Anna Kagarakis.
Oh, yeah.
Every year after Halloween, she would come in with
the whole thing?
The worst array of leftover crap.
Oh.
And it's like the same person who you go to your kid's school and a potluck, and whatever you bring doesn't get fully eaten, so yeah. You're going to bring in like one-third of a baked mac and cheese.
We're about 9 days away from me doing this, by the way. We're still working on the top level. Jude got a lot of candy this year, so there's still plenty of Reese's left, and we're working through all that. Let's see, 415, throw that crappy candy in the garbage. Give your colleagues cash if you want to be generous and share.
Exactly.
No.
It's my kind of people.
Right. As if you've been walking around here handing out 20s to people for the last 10 years.
I'm not handing out anything. And I have some leftover crap at home, and it either stays home or it goes in the garbage.
408, it's 100% acceptable. Sally in HR might love that one candy in the combo bag that nobody likes. Bring it to work. It's the final stop before it just ends up in the trash. There's nothing wrong with leftover candy in the office.
It's nothing wrong with leftover candy as long as it's decent. When you bring in your candy corn from 2017, and, you know, people don't like Almond Joy or Mounds, and so if you bring
coconut is un-American.
Well,
anyway, go ahead.
It's a different thing. I'm not going to get bogged down into that, but... You know, not even those were brought in. I'm talking about, like, smashed up, clearly mangled candy.
Okay. Remember when earlier this week I went over and I purchased a big, like, a large box of Bob's Donuts?
Yep.
And I brought them in for the staff because it was Tuesday, and I'm like, let's do some comfort food because it is a very, very stressful day because of the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah. Remember big that? Day. Big day okay. for our country.
So then we got to the end of the day, and we are the cleanup crew here. And I kept asking the guys, what's the box looks like? What's in the box? And there were like a good solid 10 donuts left.
Yep.
Now, what to do? I could leave them here, and now people tomorrow morning are getting day-old donuts, which is fine. I could have left them for Bonte and Joe and crew. Then again... Now it's out of control. I don't know what's going to happen overnight. I don't know if these are going to get taken. Nobody's here. I could also bring them home to the kids. I don't need to bring a dozen donuts home to my children, especially right after Halloween. They don't need that much sugar.
Yeah.
Lovely Christy goes, I got an idea for you. Tomorrow morning, when you drop Jude off at school, bring those donuts into the teacher's lounge at his school. I did that. So
day-old donuts.
The next day, I brought those things in. I got them just before noon on a Tuesday. And on Wednesday morning, I brought in a large box that holds 30 donuts, 10 donuts, and put them in the teacher's lounge at my kid's school. How do you think that was received?
Well, probably favorably, but... Had they known that they were day-old, hand-me-down, probably been groped by 30-year-old men donuts?
Advertised as such. Walked right up to the
previously groped donuts, PGDs.
They were not groped.
Box was open. People could have been picking and choosing and touching and snotting and sliming.
What do you do to a box of donuts?
Do you know seriously, brother? With? Have you ever been to a Whole Foods? There's food just sitting right there.
And that's going to be a no from me,
you
dog.
You don't go to the Whole Foods bar?
No. That's that a thing's a cesspool.
Anyway, listen.
And I love Whole Foods.
I walk right in to the office and to the kind ladies that are running the show in there. And I said, listen, these are from my office yesterday. These are day-old donuts, and I thought that I would bring them and put them into the lounge and let you guys get after it. It's a group of teachers. They probably weren't feeling really good about the results of the NFL trade deadline.
Niners got a seventh-round pick player.
And so I'm like, you know, here, they couldn't have been more thrilled. They could not have been more thrilled.
With day-old, previously groped donuts.
I didn't go back to check, but I bet those suckers didn't make it to 9 a.m.
Well, and again, donuts are different than third-tier leftover candy. I would much rather have a day-old donut than I would some of the crap that was brought into this workplace.
510, don't sleep on the chocolate-covered quinoa crisps. Not bad with coffee, just saying.
Okay. You didn't have one.
I've had many on a Southwest flight.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's where they're from. I
that's actually what he said.
Airplane coffee.
Well, he wrote Adam on a flight, and I thought
currently?
It was a guy named Adam who was texting us from a flight. I think what he meant to say is what
he
said.
He had him on a flight.
On a flight.
Okay.
And it got auto-corrected to Adam on a flight.
Ah, there you go.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Thanks for not texting and driving.
Well,
voice to text. It's legal.
Yeah, just be sure if you do bring in your kids leftover candy previously pawed at by a fifth grader, at least bring in some marquee names. Don't just bring in all the dregs, or you'll be ripped.
You're getting generic suckers next week. I can't wait. I'm bringing them all. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Another reminder that Clay will be at Chase Center Tuesday. We're giving away tickets to the game on Monday. We're giving away a Clay jersey, a Warriors Clay jersey, on Tuesday, and we'll be out there on the plaza where we'll also be sitting right next to our Clay Carnival that we're setting up at Thrive City. So come join us for that. Stay locked in. Stay tuned for all the details on how you can win your way in or get yourself a Klay Thompson Warriors jersey.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all that.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. What's happening, Lucas?
A lot of us. It's going to start with Gary Payton the second, then you're going to hear from Jay Billis on the other side, too.
Okay, so a full Willard and Dibbs best of?
And
best,
Lucas.
It's the best of Willard and Dibbs and Lucas sometimes.
I tell you what, I find that to be appropriate.
Yep.
Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I do. It was fun today.
All right. Let's do it again tomorrow for Dibbs, for not really Grandy. He might have sent a text or something earlier, right? For Lucas, for Steven, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.